Well. Hello, hello, hello. It's Monday, January the 25th, 2021. This is Tyrone Tate with my co-host, J. Everett Pearsall. Welcome to the inaugural edition of Hawkins Award Show live and podcast on bbsradio.com. Hello again, and welcome to this inaugural edition of the Watkins Award. And certainly today, J. Everett Pearsall and I, Tyrone Tate, better known as T-Tate today, we want to welcome you again into this extraordinary world of the Watkins Award. First, let's get to know our hosts. It's my honor to be a part of this dynamic team. Here, Everett Pearsall, the Executive Director of the National Alliance of African American Athletes, which is the organization that searches high and low to identify high school seniors all over the country, who will get a chance to meet. We realize that there is a criteria for the Franklin D. Watkins Award. With that said, Mr. Pearsall, tell our listeners about the National Alliance of African American Athletes and the Watkins Award.
Good evening, Tyrone. Thank you very much for having me on your show this evening. I appreciate the opportunity to share this time with you and to share with your listeners what the Watkins Award is all about, and more importantly, what the National Alliance of African American Athletes is about. So the organization that I started back in 1989 is the National Alliance of African American Athletes. And this organization was started with the idea that urban youth, disenfranchised youth, for the most part, look up to entertainers and to athletes. And so as we decided to pick a venue with which we wanted to pattern an organization around in order to be effective and to empower youth, we selected athletics because the eight people who were involved at that time, in some way, shape, or form, had played athletics. And so we started to put together programs and a number of different things in communities all over the country that used athletes to put out messages of empowerment. And we also founded and started 3 years later the Watkins Award.
Oh, man. I mean, tell me a little bit about when you met Mr. Franklin D. Watkins on that day. What was it like when you met him, and what really pushed you into really getting involved with this organization?
Well, again, when you say get involved, I can go one step further in as much as I'm one of the founders of the organization. But what prompted me to be one of those founders is the fact that once I met Mr. Franklin D. Watkins, I learned that this was one person that I could learn a lot from. He was an individual who was a great family man to his wife and to his kids. He was a God-fearing man. But moreover, he was a man who emphasized the importance of giving back to the community. And through coaching, counseling, mentoring, he was able to touch hundreds of lives in the city of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, with which I lived at that time. And so in looking at him as a person who inspired me to continue to do everything that I have with all that I have to give back and help those who can use a little tutelage, a little mentorship, and to develop an organization to more specifically be even more powerful down that avenue. Mr. Franklin D. Watkins was an inspiration to us all, and really to those of us who, you know, sort of put together the organization. He passed away before we were able to get everything final. But once we had an opportunity to put the award together, we thought nothing better than to name the award after him, and hence the Franklin D. Watkins Memorial Trophy Award.
Well, you know, you were, as you just mentioned, you were in Harrisburg. So what prompted you to take this award nationwide?
Well, the award was always intended to be a national award. When we started our award, it was in our organization. It's the National Alliance of African American Athletes. Although started in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, its focus was always national in scope. And so when we started it with an incubation of individuals that were in the local area, but with a national focus. And so everything that we did was through the idea of cookie cutting those efforts and using those efforts, not just in Pennsylvania, you know, but in Texas, California, Florida, anywhere in this country that would need youth to hear the messages of empowerment and have athletes give back to those communities. And so, again, when you say take this award national, it was national in thought in its inception. But certainly when you have a seed or something that is an idea, its first focus was to perfect it in the city of Harrisburg, then in Pennsylvania, and then nationally. And so it took a few years until we really got those individuals nationally to embrace what we were all about. And really, once they did that, the award flourished all over the country.
Now, this show is going to be broadcast weekly every Monday from 6 to 7 Eastern Standard Time. I know our listeners out there, a lot of them have had the opportunity to talk to you, to talk to me, and talk to others who are affiliated with the Alliance, which is the shortest version for the National Alliance of African American Athletes. But did you have any idea that this award was going to be the epitome of all awards for African American scholar athlete?
I did. I knew that, you know, once embraced by those athletes that people look up to, once embraced by those athletes by who we know they are, again, we focus on those with great scholastic aptitude. We focus on those who are of good character, which are, we see the majority. We knew that it would be embraced nationally. Obviously, when you put in the time to build, you get involved with it and you look for it to continue to progress. But again, when we started the organization, as we continue to move forward, as well as our award, we've always had a national focus, and we have a long way to go, but we've gone a long way to where we are right now, you know, 30 plus years later from its inception.
Well, you know, I've had thousands of conversations with people around the country. So I'm going to ask you a question. A person asked me, why are we trying to identify young men with 3.0s or higher? Why don't we identify the kids who have a 2.5 or 2.3 GPA? And why do they have to be such athletes to be a 4 or 5 star?
Let me step back to the question that you're asking and then try to address it in a different way, if you don't mind. When you ask me why are we searching for a kid with a 3.0, I'm not going to say that that's correctly stated. When you take a look at the way that we perform the process of developing individuals, which we call Watkins alumni, what we do is we identify the top athletes in the country. Those top athletes are 150 in number on the football side. Those athletes are top 50 basketball and top 50 baseball. So already you're talking about the top athletes in the country, bar none. When you talk about the grade point averages that they've been able to accomplish, once we started identifying all those individuals, people marveled at the fact that those guys who were the top athletes in the country, top 150 football players, that's saying something, that a large number of those individuals have 4.0 grade point averages and 4.5 grade point averages and 3.9 grade point averages. So it is the process itself that really developed into one that now, because so competitive and because people all over the country covet this award and want to compete for this award, it is now an award where certainly it would be very difficult to be able to be acknowledged for the Watkins Award unless you're in that 3.0 and above range. But I didn't develop a criteria that said in order to be, you know, to compete for the award that you had to have that grade point average. It is those individuals that embody what the Watkins Award is all about. It is those individuals who drove it to the point where it's at now, which is having a competitive grade point average and really one that most of America will marvel at when they think about these individuals as athletes, to know that they graduated from college in 2.5 and 3 years with medical degrees. And certainly these individuals have 4.0 grade point averages in high school as well. And so, again, we let the process take its course, and we let these shiny diamonds shine, and we hold them up to the country and the world.
Well, you know, you said something. I want to reiterate what you said in terms of football, basketball, and baseball. Because over the years, a lot of people think the Watkins Award honors the top football players. But tell me about some of the athletic acumens that some of these kids have that, you know, you just had one last year that was All-American in football, baseball, and basketball.
Great question. Now, we target what we consider to be high-profile sports, and sports that when you take a look at inner-city youth, who are they really trying to be like in terms of an avenue out of a situation that they may exist in? And, you know, studies essentially show, just because you take a look at the high-dollar sports, those sports have been basketball, football, and when we started the organization and our award back in the day, baseball, because we were very prominent and you know, a majority in the baseball arena. That said, there's no, you know, there's no, and we are nowhere looking down on, you know, track or tennis or any other sport. But what we're trying to do is to try to take those sports that our kids kind of look up to. And as you mentioned, over time, when you take a look at the other sports as compared to football, there have been larger numbers of football players that have achieved notoriety through the Watkins Award. But again, we have a lot of guys that are playing many different sports and are drafted in many different sports that have come through the Watkins family. And, you know, those guys are playing basketball and football, or football and baseball. Look at Jameis Winston, and as much as likely one of the top baseball and football players in his latter college career, you know, throwing a 98 mile an hour baseball, but being one of the top quarterbacks. And so it's not the sport itself, it's what the sport represents.
Well, you know, we had to make a little change. I mean, one thing about these young men that we have been honoring over the past, what, how many years now? 21, 22 years that we've been honoring these young men. Clearly, we have an opportunity to bring one on board today. We were going to bring him in later during the day, but I think he's going to be coming in on our conversation sooner, so our listening audience can get an opportunity to hear directly from these individuals who have been honorees and been that individual who keeps an eye on the trophy. I mean, just speak real briefly about the reason why it's really not a winner of the trophy.
When we began honoring individuals for the Watkins Award, the first 4 years of its existence, there was one person that we honored as we continued to perfect our process. That was in from 92 until 96. When we got into 1997, we decided to move that to three individuals, which then has grown to four, five, no more than six individuals on an annual basis. And we certainly believe that each one of those individuals, although, as you mentioned, we don't call one a winner, all those individuals are winners. One person sort of represents the class of individuals each year.
Well, you know, I was at one of the dinners, and you know, it had been probably about 9 years that I had been going to the dinners. I was at one of the dinners. There were five who were being honored, but there were at least 27 in the room. And my question is there any other event in America, let alone in the world, that would have 27 alumnus and those five which would be 32, bona fide scholar athletes in a room who all played on a Power Five sports program?
Certainly, I'm biased. One of the things I want to add to your statement earlier is when you talk about 20-something years, our next event that we hold will be our 30th. And so we're going into three decades of honoring the top African-American scholar athletes. So let me just tell you that. I'd like to think that in as much as I've been doing this for as long as I have, there is no other award like this. There is no other way of honoring the individuals that we have. And there is no other group of individuals as strong, as intelligent, as powerful, futuristic, and all really the backbone of what we're all about as a community, but as a country.
Well, I want to say that I see that Donnell Dinkins is online too. And Donnell agreed to come in with us today, and I am so happy, but I'll let you do the introduction with Donnell, because I know he came through the program in 1995, and Donnell is from Pittsburgh. So when you heard about Donnell, what did you do?
Great question. I, as I mentioned to you earlier, have always had a focus of the Watkins Award as a national award from its very inception. But the first three guys that we honored were from Harrisburg. And we recognize that as we continue to press forward with making sure that people all over the country continue to embrace what the Watkins Award is all about, we thought it an expansion to go from Harrisburg outside of the city of Harrisburg. And when we did our survey to take a look at individuals in the state of Pennsylvania, so we went from a city to a state, and then the following year, we went from the state national. We wanted to make sure that we had an individual who really represented what the Watkins Award was all about. At that time, our selection committee was made up of individuals that were in the state of Pennsylvania. And it was an overall resounding nod of approval for Donnell Dinkins, an individual who in Pittsburgh was one of the top quarterbacks and linebackers. I don't know if you guys recognize the high school game named the Big 33, but in that game, he displayed his ability to play both offense and defense, which is almost unheard of at that level because people are battling to try to make one side of the ball. And he went out there and showed his ability to perform on both sides in one of the most esteemed and most competitive and well-known games in the country. But more importantly, we brought him into Harrisburg. He had an opportunity to meet the governor, who was Governor Ridge at the time. His mom came with him as well. And we honored him with a wonderful trophy. And we told him what the Watkins Award was all about, but began to recognize him and help him to understand how important and significant that it was. I certainly, as he has joined us on the line early, I've been with him through his journey, but more importantly, he has continued to inspire me with all the great things that he has done from the time I met him as a 17-year-old back in 1995 until now. It's absolutely an incredible journey. I don't want to steal his thunder, but I know that I'll be on after he has to depart, and I'm sure I'll add on to some of the things that he's able to share with us. What a great young man. What a great leader, a Super Bowl champion with the New Orleans Saints 10 years in the league after being out of football for 10 years. But more important to me is that this past year I had an opportunity to meet and I should say reacquaint myself with his kids. One in college, two poised to go to college, two some of the most recruited athletes, but more importantly, guys who are dedicating themselves to be men of character and women of character, just as he is, and people who want to be known for what they represent off the field, more than on the field. And so those are the things that make me proud to know him, how he's dedicated himself to his family, his community. He became a pillar of Pittsburgh from a business perspective, and respected not as a football player, but as a man.
Well, with that said, I mean, let's bring Donnell on so we can get a little bit of Donnell up here on with his voice.
How's it going, guys? Thank you for having me on, man. Everett, thank you so much, man. That was just a tremendous, you know, introduction, and you know, it's heartfelt because me and Everett truly are family, even though we biologically don't have the same makeup. He is truly, you know, family to me.
Well, Donnell, let me just ask something real quick. And one of the things I want to know is, do you remember or recall your GPA when you came out of high school?
My GPA coming out, I believe it was between a 3.3 and a 3.0, somewhere in between there. I mean, it's been, I graduated in 95, so you tested me, Ty, so.
Well, don't worry. I just wanted to do that, but I'm going to let you and Everett engage into some conversation because I know the dialogue is so much fire because, of course, I had the opportunity to be with Everett down in Miami when you were playing in the Super Bowl, and, man, you talk about an experience, and I want the audience to know that these guys are just regular guys. I mean, you know, you would think that these guys were out of control, you know, not the type of guy you want around your, not only your kids, but your daughter, because you think that this guy is wild and crazy. But Donnell, you've been like a stellar individual ever since I ever met you. And so I'll let Everett have that dialogue with you because he knows a lot about you.
Yes, he does. Well,
it's on you, Everett.
Well, let me say this before Everett get on. You know, Ty, I think you tap into what Everett sees. You know, a lot as an athlete, not just myself, but multiple Watkins men, you know, when you see the athlete, you miss the individual. And, you know, I got to believe that somewhere there's seeds on the table, and you don't know those seeds are going to be strawberries or, you know, apple trees or, you know, flowers. You know, you just see seeds. And sometimes we love the flowers, we love the vegetables, we love the fruit, we love the trees, and miss the significance of the soil that those seeds are put into. The Watkins Award, Everett Pearsall, has truly been amazing soil for me in my particular life because I didn't know what seed I was. My father was never around. I'm not a woe-is-me guy. My mom was a single mother, and she did the best that she could with the situation that she was in. But your situation does not determine your destination. And guys like Everett and the Watkins Award allowed me to be around a bunch of men who seen me for the ego I was, even though at times I was walking with some chickens. And so it allowed me to start seeing what it meant to truly fly and start allowing me to start seeing that I'm part of a bigger calling that I can't even see in myself because I wasn't really around a lot of greatness. I was a lot around the pain, around a lot of negativity, around a lot of people who were saying what you could not do. And for the first time in my career, even though I had achieved a lot of success and exposure at a high school level at 17, I truly started getting the fruition of a seed being planted in me in terms of a Watkins man and what it meant to do some things outside of just the nature of sports, but what you can be with your and utilize with your platform to raise up the next generation of people. So I thank Everett for seeing that in this committee, for seeing that in me years before it ever flourished.
Now, then, what grade or at what point did you decide to become one of the best students in the classroom and one of the best athletes in the nation?
Well, you know, what really happened to me is, in terms of that is I understood that sports allowed me an opportunity to get outside of my environment, but the classroom was where I really had, you know, difficulties in terms of staying focused, in terms of, you know, being in classrooms where there was not a lot of commitment to education, but just going to school for what you had on. And so as sports started to excel me and colleges started to come around, the colleges started coming in, and I was in a sporting class, very remedial, you know, education, no component at Shinley. And then once the school started coming, they started saying, hey, this kid is really getting recruited high, We need to put him in the courses that's going to allow him to transition on to college, which is a big part of why I got into the compliance side once I got out of playing and dealing with the 16 core course credits that you need to be eligible to compete at the Division One or Division Two level. 4 years of English, 3 years of math, 2 years of social studies, 2 years of an actual physical science, 1 year of an additional English and math, and 4 years of additional courses, which total your 16 core course credits, which then goes into your sliding scale with the SAT or ACT. These are invaluable things because, as I told my children, my daughter is a junior all-conference female Tulane female athlete of the year, is a middle hitter volleyball player at the University of Tulane. Khalil has just been recruited highly and is going to Penn State as a receiver. And he's in his senior year. Then Collins, a junior, getting heavily recruited, got offers from Penn State. Robert Morris and a few others. He had a chance to talk to Deion Sanders on the phone last week down at Jackson. So there are some things that have happened when you prepare the seed and put them in good soil and prepare them for the next generation of things, because truly 4 years of high school and 4 years of college determines the next 40 years of your life. So if I wanted to be something outside of just another athlete, when I couldn't run another pass, I wanted to be at least be able to have something to fall back on. And those are the principles and values that the Watkins Award presents. It allows you to prepare for the rest of your life today.
Well, obviously you were pushing, you are pushing your kids. But was someone else pushing you, or were you self-motivated?
I could truly say that it came from not wanting to fail. I've seen a lot of people who were doing the same thing consistently in the Hill District. I lived two doors down from a guy named Major Harris, who was a standout quarterback at West Virginia. But one of the things that I had to understand is the fact that if I wanted it, I had to be willing to work. I walked over a mile of school each day and put 45-pound weights in my book bag, went to Kennard Field and threw for 2 hours, and I was not going to allow opportunity to slip past me. I was going to work my opportunity. I was going to work hard as I could, so when the opportunity presented itself, I could be prepared for it. You know, you can't determine what an opportunity is going to come, but you can determine how hard you're willing to work. So if you happen to get that opportunity, you'll be prepared to shine. And I'm thankful to God that he gave me the opportunity.
Donnell, when you took a look at the situation that you went through in terms of the character building that you went through at the University of Pittsburgh, and the way your career ended up, people don't know you as well as I do. I don't expect them to. Hopefully there's a couple of people who got wind that you were going to be on the show that know you as well as I do. But that said, what enabled you to keep your focus? Because I remember, coming to see you literally playing semi-professional football before you had your opportunity to go overseas and play in Europe. When you take a look at the kind of faith and persistence that you were able to exhibit through those times, what are some of the things that you will find as a staple that helped you get through those times?
One thing that happened, the story of Joseph is something that's so synonymous with me, Everett. As you know, I'm a guy who, live in the Word. And the story of Joseph is a guy who got beat up by his brothers and sisters, thrown into a ditch, sold into slavery after seeing a dream and telling his siblings about his dream. You know, what was intended for harm now will be done for the good for those who love the Lord. And that's in Genesis 50 and 20. And one thing that happened, I went through extreme adversity when I went to Pitt, from being the number one recruit that they were recruiting to then as a quarterback to never even getting a chance, a real opportunity to play, being told a multitude of things, and being put in a position where you, didn't have much, opportunity. So I had to really hold on to the word. And when I look at the story of Joseph, he had to continue to keep, believing what God had showed him, even when he was, so beat up and thrown into a ditch, even when he was taken to Potiphar's house and then his wife came after him and then he was put in jail for doing nothing. But in jail, he seen two men who then went before Pharaoh. They said, Pharaoh had a dream. No one else could interpret it. And Joseph was the one person who could interpret a dream. So it starts showing me it doesn't matter the time it takes to get there, but as long as you stay focused on the word, God's word will not go untouched. It will not go to the point where, you will not reap the harvest from what he has spoken into your life. And I just believe that. And there was times where it was hard. There was times where, you know, like Ever said, after, you know, playing in, you know, school, and the coach told me I wasn't going to play quarterback because I didn't look at him at the end of practice. Another coach said that I wouldn't play an African-American at the quarterback position if I had the opportunity. So I was dealing with a lot of internal issues of grown men acting like boys. But I was a boy having to learn how to accept people for their ignorance. So I was not going to let that be a deterrent. And I just kept working hard. And I know God just put me in position once I left, you know, Pitt, to have an opportunity to play semi-pro, as Ever said. And I just said, you know, I'm going to record the film and just, you know, keep having a live working resume. So if something happened, at least I had some tangible information. I go up to New York for an arena workout with the New York Dragons. And as I'm up there, you know, Everett, A scout falls right beside me, and it happened to be a scout from the New York Giants. I sent him the film. He said, hey, you're a great-looking specimen. You're throwing the ball good. And when I sent him the film, here's how God works. The first coach that worked me out would happen to be Sean Payton, who was the quarterback coach of the New York Giants, who I end up 10 years later winning the Super Bowl with at the New Orleans Saints. So God had a plan that, you know, in Isaiah 55, it says, our thoughts are not his thoughts, and our ways are not his ways. So if I had foreseen the road I was going to take to the NFL, I probably would have chosen just going on the podium. But it grew me in such a way that I'm adaptable. I can adapt and change and transform in any situation I need to be successful in the business world, in the sports world, and in the, you know, spiritual world. So it was a blessing, even though at the time it was a deterrent.
What a great sort of message in terms of perseverance, or more importantly, your faith, which I knew you had from the first day I came down to the Hill District and had a chance to meet, you know, your mom, your sisters, and yourself. And when you take a look at the next step of that journey, and I remember we were at the Super Bowl together as spectators one time, and we had an opportunity to bump into Michael Strahan, and you got to talking to Michael Strahan about when you guys were with the Giants together, and you know, at the end of the day, you guys had to engage, and you had to block him, and some of the things that you went through. When you had an opportunity to establish a situation where you could achieve your dream of being able to play in the NFL, when we, you know, for our listeners, what were some of the things that helped you to keep your eye on the prize and get over the hump to establish yourself for a 10-year career?
I think the first thing, what's such a great question. I think the first thing was the fact that I think a lot of our youth today, I think a lot of people think that when you're in the NFL, when you're in professional sports, you can't make a mistake. You don't make a mistake. And that's not the case at all. You know, and the first thing I realized is that guys really do make mistakes. They miss passes. They drop balls. They do some things that really don't allow them to be normal. So once I've seen that people are normal, now it's a matter of just working hard. And what I really decided to do is, like, I was going to take my lunchbox to work every single day. I was going to be the first guy to get to practice. And Everett, you can attest, when I was down in Tampa, when I made it to the Ryan Fire team for NFL Europe, I was the third quarterback. They had T. Martin, who was the quarterback with the, you know, Steelers, Romero Miller, who was a quarterback with the Minnesota Vikings at the time, and myself. The odds of a third of them taking three quarterbacks over to NFL Europe was highly unlikely. So I wanted to make sure I was out there going through the script. I wanted to make sure I was going through all the plays, going through the tight end stuff, going through, you know, the special team stuff. So if an opportunity presented itself, I would be prepared. And that's exactly what happened. Some guys was laughing about me. I was being out there, the first one out there, the last one to leave, to the point where a couple of guys was laughing about it. The offensive coordinator by the name of Mike Jones for the Ryan Fire stopped and said, he's here for quarterback. You guys are here for receiver and tight end. Y'all laughing, but he got more yards after the catch in scrimmages than you guys. So what do you think I'm going to tell his coaches about him? And it wasn't about what I talked about. It's always about what I show. And I'm a verb-based man, which means I go out there and just show my action, and I'll allow that to be my voice. So in terms of going through all the things that I went through, the blessing came from always understanding the calling that God had on my life, where sports, football, wasn't just about playing in the NFL. It truly was about encouraging a generation of people for just such a time as this, with COVID going on, with everybody saying, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that. My story is a living testimony of how when everything is going against you, how your dream has been turned away from you, how the door has been shut in your face for you doing nothing wrong, you can still persevere if you're willing to see past the situation and understand that, you know, hard work and determination will pay off in its due time.
Great.
Hey, Donnie, you know, I know you've been involved for quite some time with the National Alliance. Do you remember anything, any memorable experiences in your life that you've had with the National Alliance of African American Athletes?
Absolutely. I mean, you talk about from 95 to 2004 to 2000. Me and Everett has almost seen this thing in decades. And it's funny because now my birthday was January 20th and I'm 44. So it just goes to show, like, what you can do when you think outside the box. Everett did not have to start this, and I would never know Everett, and I would never see the things as far as the first Watkins when we was up in Harrisburg, and he was putting it together and the trophy we got there. A young kid who had no idea what was going on. Then you go down to North Carolina where I meet a kid like Muhammad Asiqua when he's coming out, who ended up playing for the Cleveland Browns. When Everett presented me with the official Watkins Award, then us getting out to California because I was like, you know, V.A. Baracus from the A-team. I did not like flying, and Everett understood that. So he was a year in advance trying to get me to come to Watkins Award, you know, dinners. I just was like, hey, I got this, and I had the kids, and, you know, I had a, you know, ex at the time. So there was a lot of things that was going on, but Everett stayed diligent, going out to L.A. With some of the guests, Claudia Schiffer, Jordan Sparks, just really meeting some people who ever extended himself and his idea, his concept. Everything we see in our world, in our living rooms, in the room that we're sitting in today is from someone's thought. And when you take your thought and can manifest it into reality, it really shows what can happen when you think outside of the frame of what people say you are or are not. So the fact that ever created a Watkins Award shows that you can think outside the box and do things for people all over the country. I mean, this award has touched so many kids. This truly is the High School Heisman Award, and I commend Everett for putting it together. So I hate to cut this short, man. I got to be on another call. If we could, if I get finished, I would love to pick up. I thank you guys for having me on. Once again, I could talk with you guys all day. I hope I get a chance to be a guest again because the Watkins truly is a part of my life. I've known Everett now longer than I've been alive, and I'm thankful for every single second that we spun together.
Thank you so much, Donnell, man. I appreciate you getting on with us.
Thank you, man. Thank you, man. I'll talk to you guys.
Love you, man.
Thank you.
All right, love you, man.
Uh-huh. Love you. Boy, I tell you, that was quite a story, more so a testimony. Everett, I mean, you know, that guy is just a... He's awesome. And one of the things I wanted to get from him, but I will let the listeners know, they can go by the Alliance website, which is www.naaa.com. And you can get more information on Donnell. You get a chance to see who Donnell really is. And we'll make sure if you have any reason to need Donnell to come out and speak. He loves speaking. He's quite a motivational speaker. So, yeah, just stop by the website and certainly see Donnell and see some more things about his accomplishments. He's so humble. He really wanted to play down his GPA. Donnell had a 3.9. When he came out of high school, he's talking about a 3.3, a 3.0 to a 3.3.
That was his college GPA.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what a humble guy. But Everett, I know we've been talking a lot, and certainly we've had a lot of dialogue here, different things that we talking about. But just want to let the audience know, you know, one of our sponsors of this show is JMA Solutions. They are award-winning government consulting firm with over 12 years of experience delivering outstanding customer support. Since 2005, they provided customer support to program management, engineering services, air traffic management, and more. They are a certified woman-owned small business, and certainly I know that you know the president and CEO, and you know, I mean, she's all over the place, man. She loves the Alliance and the Watkins Award. So what is it that you can say about the owner of that company?
Jan has become like a sister and a mentor to me in many different ways. It's funny and really just crazy to think that I have someone who came on board to the Alliance as a sponsor, and really, in as much as most recently, when I was taking a look at an investment, before I would make a decision on that investment, I would not put a dime on it until I talked to Jan Adams. She is an incredible person. She is the matriarch of her family. She is an extraordinary business person, not just building one of the most effective and fastest growing companies in Washington, D.C., doing what she does. But more importantly, she's branched out in the relationships that she's had and now mentored many, many others on how they can follow her path and how they can take their dream and make their dream a reality. She is not just one that has achieved success and just piled up her gold. She is one that has shared her wealth with the uplifting of the kingdom. And what I mean by that is anyone who knows her will come to agree that you're a better person having known her. She embraced our Watkins Award coming here to Washington, D.C., and she has been the pillar of support for us as long as we've been here now for 9 years in Washington, D.C., I really love her, and I really love what she represents. And again, we really are only able to do the things that we do because of Jan and people like Jan. But she spreads the word constantly about our works with others, as well as collaborate us with other people to make us stronger, better, faster, and more effective. Jan Adams is a great one, and I am personally not just because she has decided to support us financially. I am better as an organization because of the way that she's pushed us, guided us, and helped us to continue to drive the organization in the right direction. I can't say enough about her.
Well, I know that all of the honorees of the Watkins Award set out to do something in the community. They are always out there anyway, especially as high school players. They are very active in their community. But one of the honorees, I want to mention him as well, because he's also one of our sponsors, and that's Mercedes Lewis. And I want to talk quickly about the Mercedes Lewis Foundation, which is to educate children about the benefits of exercise and healthy living in support of the community by providing scholarships that enable students to compete in sports of their choice. The foundation fosters academic, social, and emotional growth in students by stressing the importance of maintaining good grades in school, promoting cooperative learning and teamwork, and emphasizing sports as a means of building self-confidence. I mean, Mercedes Lewis is playing with the Green Bay Packers right now. So we want our audience to know that our guys, you know, certainly all of them don't make it into the NFL, but we certainly going to highlight some of those guys who do play in the NFL. We'll try to connect the dots from time to time. But give me an idea about Mercedes. I mean, I've gone with you down to Jacksonville when he was playing with Jacksonville. One thing about you, I didn't, you know, put a couple of holes in the bottom of my shoes trying to keep up with you, Mr. Pearsall. But we went down to Jacksonville, and now Mercedes is up there in Green Bay, which I'm not going to Green Bay unless it's in the summer. Watch them working out in the summer, but not in the wintertime. But What about Mercedes? I mean, you and I went to a fundraiser he had out in L.A. That he did one year, and that was a phenomenal fundraiser.
Mercedes Lewis is another example of what Watkins men are all about. Similar to Darnell, met him as a 17-year-old at Long Beach Poly. At that time, we had had several individuals that have been honored by the Watkins Award, first being Chris Lewis and Reggie Butler and a few others at Long Beach Poly. And we selected to honor him with the Watkins Award some time ago. He went on to have a very successful career at UCLA at the tight end position and a first-round draft pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars. One of the things that you'll note about our Watkins men is that they do graduate from college most immediately. And when some decide to come out because from a business perspective it makes sense, they all take classes to complete the mission of education. That said, as a first-round draft pick, he went on to achieve Pro Bowl status while with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And now with his second team, the Green Bay Packers, just missed the opportunity to be in the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. But again, in the twilight of his career, the last 2 years with the Green Bay Packers. Moreover, as you've asked me to talk about what he represents off the field, I've given you some of his athletic accolades. But what's more important to me is the fact that once drafted, he immediately collaborated with us, his family, his mom, and decided that he wanted to have a foundation and to grow that foundation to be effective in Southern California. And we spoke a lot, myself, his parents, and himself as well. And the thing that was most incredible is that every community and every individual sort of has a way to reach the constituents in there. And so he had an idea that let's take boating and use the yacht club in order to reach out to inner city kids. And my thought around that was, wow, I never thought boating and yachting would be something that would attract kids. He said, yes, there are a lot of kids that are intrigued by the fact that they've never been on a yacht, never been out on a boat, never been taught to sail. And so he put together a program in Long Beach, California, that gave kids an opportunity to spend some time learning how to sail, something that they would have never been exposed to in life. But during that time together, he was able to spend time with them, talking to them about life skills, talking to them about the teamwork that was exhibited in learning how to sail, talking to them about the things that they would need to embrace in order to be successful as individuals, you know, outside of any sport that they might play, and then positioning them around SAT, around doing things that they needed to do in order to accomplish the grander goal, which is achieving a certain level of education, but more importantly, being a productive member of society. And so, again, he's yet another example of what the Watkins Award and these men are all about, that are all over the country doing the thing that they do in communities all over. And his foundation for over 10 years and the lion's share of his 14-year NFL career has touched thousands of lives through football camps, through workshops, through things like this yachting and sailing event that he put together annually. He has touched thousands of lives. And there are individuals and their families would tell you that they would not be the same without the impact that he's made on their kids. And that is the thing that makes me so very proud when I take a look at the Watkins men and what they've been able to accomplish through their careers, and more importantly, off the field as men of character and men who are honored to be part of society, and people would look up to them in every way, shape, or form.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll wrap this up because, man, this has been awesome. I mean, how time flies when you're having fun. So We'll take this quick break and we'll be right back.
8 points later. 8 points later.
Boy, I tell you, as I mentioned, boy, this, you know, time flies. On that quick break, I had to get some exercise and I cracked my back. So, you sitting in that palatial basement of yours, I can see those awards now. Just for the audience, so they'll know, next Monday we will be doing live streaming. So you'll get an opportunity to see Mr. Pearsall do some exercising while he's, you know, talking to us at the same time. He got all kind of running machines and weights and things around, but I'm a go by his basement and steal that Ray Lewis jersey I see in the back of him. I mean, don't think I'm not going, that's going to be an empty wall, Mr. Pearsall.
I got an extra one for you.
Okay, I appreciate that. Also, I just want to make sure that all of the individuals who have really helped us out with the Watkins Awards as far as sponsors, I mean, it's just been so many people, including, for the lack of a better word, People's Community Foundation. I mean, they've been a great partner with us, and certainly, Mr. Ron Peoples is a great guy. What do you have to say about him, Mr. Pearsall?
Many people who hear me talk about Mr. Ron Peoples will know most immediately that I have a very, very fond affinity toward who he is as an individual and what he represents as well. You'll also hear me introduce him as the most longstanding supporter that we have. And as much as we've got a guy who supported us when we did our event in Charlotte, then we moved our event to Los Angeles and had it there for almost 10 years, and now 9 years in Washington, D.C. And so it's amazing to have an individual like him who has embraced what we're all about and without fail has continued to support us year after year, decade after decade. Much thanks and appreciation and love to Ron Peoples and the People's Community Foundation and all the lives that they continue to touch, uplift, and build forward.
Well, I guess we have run out of time. I mean, I think I'm going to take and run up on the north side of Atlanta where I'm located, and you're located in Baltimore. What a, man, technology is something. So I'm going to run up to recovery time and get a little, you know, back massage, let them work me out with these sports injuries of mine, you know, trying to keep up with you. And then you're going to be at the Super Bowl and you're going to see another one of our Watkins guys down at the Super Bowl. We're going to have him on the show at some time in the future. And who is that going to be?
Tampa Bay Buccaneer, second year in his professional career, the Lightning Rod, Devin White.
Oh, man, great guy.
Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Should have been a Pro Bowler. 130 tackles in just 14 games, rather.
Well, I had a pleasure meeting him when he was down at LSU. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. Here, you were with the Watkins Award, our inaugural show. We really appreciate our listeners, the time you took out. Feel free to go by the website, www.naaa.com. Donations. I mean, certainly go by, make a donation, $5, 25 cents. We'll take the donations because we use those for ACT training camps. I mean, there's so many other things that we do, and we'll certainly be looking forward to talking with you. And we're going to expand this show probably to 2 hours. We appreciate everything. And this is Tyrone Tate, and I'm here with Everett Pearsall. All I can say is we really appreciate your time. And Everett, you can take it out from here.
Thank you very much for having me once again, Mr. Tyrone Tate. It's an honor. Look forward to doing this every week. Talk to you guys next Monday.